Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Jim. If you don't know me, I get to serve Jesus here with you and be the pastor here. I get to do one of the things that causes the most fear, the most stress in many people's lives. Do you know what that is? The number one fear that people have? I can prove it's the number one fear. Why don't we take the microphone and have somebody else preach today? Any volunteers? No. Well, for one, you're not prepared. But public speaking is the number one fear that a lot of people have. The fear of seeing a whole group of faces and going, oh my goodness, what do I say to them? What if they think I'm silly? Well, God gives us the strength to conquer all of our fears. So I ain't afraid of you. No, and when I'm ready to bring you the message that God has given to us through his word. In a book of the Bible called Judges, and a man named Gideon. Maybe you've heard of Gideon, but you might know the more popular stories of Gideon. You know, Gideon who took a fleece and laid it out on the ground and said, Lord, if it's wet and all the ground is dry, then I'll do your will. And that happened. He said, Lord, if the fleece is dry and the ground is wet, I'll do your will. And so he does. Gideon, who took his army of 10,000 down to the creek and got rid of all the people who didn't slurp the water like this, but got down and they got rid of all of them. So he'd only had 300 when he was left. And fought the great battle against the Midianites. Maybe you know those stories. But Gideon doesn't start out as a great warrior. And we'll see in our passage today in Judges. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak, oh my goodness, at Ophrathah. There's a fun name to say on a Sunday morning. Belonged to Joash, the Abizarite, woo, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did the Lord not bring us up out of Egypt? But now, the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, if I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering to set before you. And the Lord said, I will wait for your return. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to the angel of the Lord under the oak. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of his staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas! I have seen the sovereign Lord. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and it is called The Lord is Peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Another fun name to say. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures have been read and your word is proclaimed, we will hear with joy your word for us today. Amen. Well, so the Midianites are people who are dangerous to the Israelites. They are more strong, they have more people, they have more cattle, more camels, and more weapons. And they are going into Israel and taking whatever they want. They walk in, say, "Are you making bread?" "Yeah, I'm making bread." And the Midianites would say, "I'm going to take that bread." So they take the bread. "You got some cattle there?" "Yeah, I have cattle." "Well, I'm going to take the cattle." And then they take it back to their land, and then they come and repeatedly invade Israel. And the Israelites are afraid. And notice when we start this passage, Gideon is not the mighty brave warrior. Gideon is something like this. Just down here, minding my business. I have to make my bread on a wine press, because if I have a wine press or I have a mill to make a grain, the Midianites will take my millstone and they'll eat my grain. So I'm just going to be down here in my little wine press, minding my own business. You can't see me. I'm down here. Yep. But God can see him. And sure enough, when God gives Gideon his message, that coward who is hiding, who is doing what he can to not be seen by the Midianites, how does the angel of the Lord greet Midian? Not with, "Get out from that hiding rock, you coward." He does not say that. What does God speak into Midian's life? Affirmation. He says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, this is a guy who's hiding. This is a guy who's making wheat on a wine press because he's afraid of what the Midianites will do. But God doesn't see Gideon as the sniveling coward that he is. God sees the potential for Gideon to be that mighty warrior that God sees Gideon. And all throughout Gideon's story, he is constantly having to be reassured that he is who God says he is. That fleece that he puts out that we know so much about from our Bible studies or from our Sunday school is not a great, you know, show of faith. "I'm going to see how mighty God is by putting this fleece out." He's scared for his life. He's saying, "You know, I'm going to ask God to do something impossible so that when it doesn't happen, I won't have to do what God wants me to do." He wants me to go and be bold and mighty and take down the altars of the Midianites. And I just don't want to do that. I'd rather not. So I'm asking God for an impossible sign. And then God does the impossible sign. And poor Gideon says, "Well, you know, I'm going to reverse what I asked you to do before, God, because if you did it this way, surely you won't do it the other way." Well, God does the miracle the other way, and poor Gideon is left with no choice but to face his fears and to go and do what God has told him to do. Fear is an obstacle in our lives that keeps us from fulfilling the vision that God has for us in our lives. Fear stops us on our road to doing what God wants us to do. Fear is an enemy in God's way of seeing things. Now, some fear is good. Some fear is good. I'm afraid that if I jump off the top of the building, I'll hurt myself. That's a good fear to have, a fear that you wouldn't jump off of a building. But sometimes common sense fears can overwhelm us. I wouldn't want to climb up on the roof of the building, but now I'm so afraid of heights that I can't even climb a ladder to fix something in my home. You know, fears can become overwhelming so that you don't even want to take a step off of a ladder. You know? Fear of strangers, you know, is something that we all have. You know, you don't know what that person who's coming towards you on the street might do. Naturally, you begin to have a sense of fear. Then you find out that person's just like you, and you might become friends or at least exchange pleasantries as you pass. But that fear can become a fear of entire groups of people. So that we become prejudiced, or become racist, or we become sexist, or we begin to associate groups of people with all sorts of negative qualities that because they're different, I don't trust them. I'm afraid of them. And as Yoda said in Star Wars, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. So that fear of a group may lead to persecution of a group, which may lead to violence, which may lead to actions that lead to even death. So fear, even though it's natural, you know, if you're walking through the woods at night and you hear, oh, the little goosebumps on your arms go up, you shouldn't go looking for whatever made that sound. That's a healthy fear to have. But to allow that to become, I don't even want to leave my house because I'm scared of what's out there, is an unhealthy fear. We fear the unknown. We all fear the unknown. What might be out there? What happens to us after death? Become a fear. What happens to us if you go to a place you've never been before? You know, fear keeps us from doing things, but fear might keep us from experiencing God. You know, if I'm afraid, then I won't do what God wants me to do. I'll be like Gideon, hiding under a rock. But God doesn't see us as cowards. God doesn't see us as hiding. You know, God sees the potential that we have within us to do God's will. Paul wrote in his letter, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are stronger than we can possibly imagine. I bet if I really pressed you and said, you know, God has a word that he's given to you that you need to give to the church, you might be dragged up here kicking and screaming and saying, please don't make me do it. I'm so afraid. But when you got up here, God would give you the words to speak. God would give you the courage to do that seemingly impossible thing, to stand in front of a crowd of people and to proclaim God's word. He would give you the strength to do it. If you're afraid of strangers, if you're afraid of meeting people on the street, you know, God can give you the courage to face those people, you know, to find out what's going on in their life, to find out why God has connected your lives together, and how you can serve the other. I bet you there are people in this room right now who never thought that they could go down to downtown Wimber and say, come to us, and we're going to give you a coat, and to strike up a conversation with people as you're offering them a coat, you're having a conversation with somebody you never would have met otherwise. That's a scary thing to do, but you do it because God gives you the strength. The disciples, as they're riding along in the boat, there are two stories that talk about the confidence we can have in Jesus. One, the boat is rocking. The wind is causing a storm. It's terrible. The disciples are in terror because they think the boat's going to capsize. They're all going to drown. And where is Jesus in the midst of the storm? He's asleep. He's calm as can be in the back of the... He's so calm, he's comatose. And the people in the boat are saying, don't you care because we're going to drown. We're all going to die. And Jesus, peace, be still. Boop. And the wind and waves stop. Do you know that the same power of Jesus Christ that calmed the wind and the waves can calm the chaos in your life? The diagnosis that a doctor gives you, it's not that that's a cancer or diabetes or one of those diseases that you don't want to hear. Do you know that God has more power than that disease? That he can calm the wind and waves in your health? You know that God is more powerful than bankruptcy? That God is more powerful than marital problems? That God is more powerful than anything? Stress from work? Stress in your family? Do you know that God gives you that same courage to stand in the midst of that craziness and say, peace, be still? And to see the calmness that will emanate from God's power in your life? Another example, as the boat is going toward the other shore, Jesus is left behind on the other shore, sends the disciples on their way. When the time comes, Jesus starts walking on the water so that he's almost passing the boat. And the disciples look out from the boat and they see this man walking on the water. And what is their reaction? Oh, look, it's Jesus. Their reaction is, ah! Look at that guy. What is that? It's a ghost. We're all going to die. What does Jesus have to do? Peace, be still, you disciples in that boat. It's me. It's Jesus. And Peter says, if it's really you, ask me to come out of the boat. And what does Jesus do? He says, get out the boat. Get out the boat. And Peter, I love it. He just jumps out there. Oh my. There's wind and waves, and it's kind of scary, and boop, down he goes. But who's there to save him? But Jesus pulls him up out of the water. Oh, why'd you doubt? You're doing so well. I guarantee you that there's the reason that we have those fears in our lives is because sometimes we've done that. We've run out of the boat, and we've gone, oh, this is scary, and bloop, down we've gone. But Jesus is more powerful than our doubts, our fears, our looking around at oh my, what's going on, and is always there to pull us up out of the water. Jesus never tells us, God in the scriptures never tells us that we are going to have 100% success rate in this life. That whatever we do, God's going to be in, and it's going to be great, and we're going to triumph. God does not offer us that promise. Sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we're going to get scared. Sometimes we're going to be afraid. But God sees the potential that we don't see, and God promises us his presence in our lives. So that even if we fail, even if we fall flat on our face, in fact, even if we die trying, that God's going to be there, Jesus is there with his hand to pull us up out of the waters. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.